podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jones! Bowden!
He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello, Sunday, March the 5th. Welcome to the Analysts Inside Cricket podcast, which today is going to discuss the greatest test match you've ever seen. You could call it GOAT, if you like, the greatest game of all time. And that's just as a result of that incredible test match we saw in Wellington, which England, of course, lost by one run. One of the closest test matches ever, one of the most exciting test matches ever. Only the second test match that's gone to such a narrow conclusion, apart from the tied test matches. Of course, it was also only the fourth time in history that a team has won a test match after being asked to follow on. So it was incredible from so many points of view. So we thought we'd get our world's best cricket club members together, the virtual cricket club that I created a couple of years ago during lockdown. It's lots of keen members from all over the world, and you can join our club by going to worldsbestcc.com. We have Kumar Sangakkara as our special guest this Wednesday in the club. You can join us by going to that website, worldsbestcc.com, clicking on the buttons there, and you can join our club and be at the Kumar Sangakkara live interview this Wednesday night and ask a question, direct question if you want as well, and join this WhatsApp group, which is so active from all over the world, cricket discussion, cricket conversation, cricket observation. And we got the members together on Thursday night to discuss what was your greatest test match you've ever seen. Some interesting answers, actually, going right across the world and quite a long way back in history as well. So here is the results of that conversation. And by the way, if you want to add in your own observations or memories of great test matches, you could go to the Twitter analyst feed, which is at the analyst pod, and put your own ideas in there. What was the greatest test match that you have witnessed? Here, anyway, is a conversation we had. It features Umar, Rob, Sundarshan, Jacob, Mark, Martin, Robin, Tom, Tim, Paul, another Martin, Jenny, and John. So listen in and hope you enjoy it.
I give two special mentions. Has to be Edgbaston 05.
Yeah.
And India, Pakistan, Bangalore 99.
Ooh.
So those two.
Stone,
for me, my favourite is a bizarre one. It's Baron Lara's 153.
Oh, yeah.
Oz scored 499. Steve Waugh missed out on a double by a couple of runs. And then Sherwin Campbell, of all people, kept Australia, Windies in the game, sorry. Then Courtney Walsh pulls out a five for Skittles of 120 odd. But still, excuse me, the target was 355 or something. Lost a bunch early, and then Lara and Adams took it to the end. It was just ebbed and flowed. But for me, that knock from Lara, I mean, I'm a big, Lara's my favourite batsman ever. So it had to be him. The thing with the test match was you had Ian Healy, Steve Waugh, Langer, McGrath, Warren, Gillespie, McGill, Mark Waugh. He had the team of the era. And the best thing was the last, it was Courtney Walsh coming out to bat. They needed like eight to win. Oh my days. Some of the four defenders. It's still on YouTube. You can watch. I don't know how he survived, but that's my.
I'm going to go for Edgbaston 05, just because I watched it from start to finish. I even watched the ending from a bar in Spain when I said, I'll be back, won't be long. And I was gone for the rest of the morning. It was just fascinating. Like, and the bar just filled up. I've never seen a bar in Spain filled up with people of all ages watching it. It was just, for me, it was mind-blowing, because that's when I first watched a series from start to finish. I took the time off work. I watched every ball of every day, glued to the sofa, watched it. I even changed the flights we left, so they flew after the day's play, so I didn't miss any, because I refused to be in the air of the day's play in case I missed something. For me, that was just fantastic.
Sundarshan, have you got a favourite test match?
Yep. So there are two, actually. One is the tied test, India-Australia. That was probably one of the first test matches that I watched all 5 days of. And I fell in love with Ravi Shastri in that match. 200 he scored, but the way he managed Maninder Singh at the end and ensured he stayed right up to the end till he lost his head and got LBW.
What year was that?
I think that was 1987, if I'm not wrong.
1986, I think it was. 86.
86, 87, yeah. I remember I was in grade 10, so I remember my mum screaming at me all through the 5 days, saying, you got a big exam coming up and you need to study. And I was doing that. And the other one is the Calcutta, India-Australia again.
2001.
One in which Lakshman and Dravid scored. Yeah. 2001, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, well, they batted all down, didn't you?
That was the last follow-on win before this week, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
That's right.
God, that's two good games. Who's next?
I'll go next. The game that I was thinking of was the one in the Gabatois in 2021, is it now, January? Especially with what happened with 36 all out, with Bumrah out, Ashwin out, Kohli obviously went back, Rahane obviously won the match in Melbourne, and it was 1-1, wasn't it, going into the last test. And obviously went to the last day. And obviously, the rest is history with Rishabh, and especially with what Tim Payne said in Sydney about taking India to the Gabatois, and they're almost certain, weren't they, that India will obviously wilt under pressure, and obviously with having the second team, it wasn't even the second team, was it? It was the third team, I think. Yeah. Some of the players like Natarajan and Washington Sundar, players that hardly played even first class matches, let alone test matches, and to win in Australia, where India had only previously done it once before, and that's when Steve Smith and obviously David Warner were banned at that time. So some Australians claim that wasn't proper valid, and obviously for India to win it, when it was least expected, it was just remarkable. For me, that was the greatest test that's ever been.
Yeah, good example. Good game. Good game.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
I'm going to go way back. I'm going to go back to Botham's Ashes. And the Headingley test, where he made that ridiculous 149 by just snogging a lot of it. That was the series that really hooked me into test cricket. And just watching it now, just to see Bob Willis running in with that glazed expression on his face is just incredible. especially when they were in the game, nothing to lose. It was just, that was my... But in recent times, I'm going to go with that Gabatois game, because the way India won that was just incredible. So that's my two, I think.
Very good.
Yeah. There are so many stories about both from the test match where they had, where the Australians were going to the bookmakers because they were so
ahead. 100-1.
100-1. Putting them on all sorts. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Of course, that was Simon's era, so he'd been... I was playing.
We never saw the last day of that test because we were out in the field. I think I was playing Gloucestershire and Zahir Abbas about 180 or something. So we never saw that fantastic one. I mean, I'll just give you one. I'll go even further back, Martin, actually. One of the first tests I ever saw, 1968, the Oval, Basil D'Oliveira, 158. Brilliant innings. And he'd been recalled, having been dropped a couple of tests before. And actually, to think of what the pressure was on him, because England were going to South Africa that winter, and obviously he was keen to be part of the touring team, and this was his last chance. This was an unexpected opportunity, and to score that, and it was a brilliant innings, 158. Ironically, the same score that Kevin Peterson made at the Oval in 2005.
Oh, yeah.
Then there was the bizarre circumstances of rainfall and saturated ground, and all the crowd coming on, and I was actually watching the telly, all the crowd coming on and drying up the pitch with towels,
blankets
and everything. And then
I was there too, Simon.
You were there?
Hmm.
Were you? You were actually there?
Yep.
Wow, really?
I left the game for an hour or more. Went home. I was living in Ken High Street then, and... got home, my father was watching it on the television and said, "They've started playing again."
Odd.
Believe it.
So in other words, you didn't go back, you just rest on telly.
Correct.
Yeah.
In the end.
Wow. It would have been amazing to be there. It would have been amazing to have been one of those people who dried the pitch up and then saw the confusion.
Yeah.
Actually, Simon Mann and I recorded a new commentary of that game. That last day, we'll upload it at some point as a podcast.
I can go back to Bob Barber and Jeff Boycott opening at Newlands in 65.
Oh,
what happened there?
To be honest, that's all I can remember. I do remember loving it at the time. I was about 14, I think.
Right.
And I was right very high up on the stand they'd built for the game. Of course, it was located, as we all know, right under Table Mountain. And of course, the tablecloth, as they called it, from time to time, just sat on Table Mountain, and it affected the play because, of course, sun cloud. It was fantastic. Mm.
That's a good story.
If I can say mine, because probably recapping too. So, following on from Martin, I was 9 years old, and if you can see there, it's kind of, I've got Botham's ashes on the wall, I've got the scorecard up there, and that for me kind of got me into cricket. You know, I was 9 years old. That, and also I had the VHS of it when I probably owned about 5 VHS copies. So I've watched so many times over the years. And funny enough, the other one I thought about today, and then I'll probably talk about the one that I was actually at, but I was thinking today, in March 99, I was on at the end of a lad's holiday in Mallorca, and our flight wasn't till sort of midnight, and I went to the bar with a friend who has no interest in cricket, and there was a test match on in the bar between Australia and West Indies, and I said to my friend who has no interest in cricket, you know, cricket's not too bad. And we saw Brian Lara score 153. Okay. And, and that really sticks in my mind, just sitting watching that at the bar. And he was like, this is brilliant, you know. And so, yeah, that's right up there for me. I think in terms of ones I was actually at, I went to the fourth day to Old Trafford in 2005. And we then made a snap decision to extend our hotel one day. And we'd heard that it was, you know, going to be a sellout. We got up at about 5 in the morning, got in the queue, and managed to get in about 10 minutes before they shut the gates at 8 a.m. And watched that 96 over fifth day, and saw Ponting's inning. And it, you know, I mean, it obviously ended in a draw, but that was just unbelievable. The way, as an English fan, to see how he batted that day was just unreal, you know, against that attack and the way they were bowling was, you know, as a cricket fan, it was incredible.
Do you remember his expression when he was out? I think he was caught outside.
Funny enough, we were in the, you know, we were obviously surrounded a lot of English fans, and, you know, there was a lot. That was the first kind of time I'd seen the kind of football crowd atmosphere at the cricket, and there was a lot of people giving him a send off, and I thought, oh my goodness, you've just seen one of the great test innings. And I thought there was a lot of people there that were, just didn't quite get it, what they'd seen. But yeah, he was gutted. He thought he'd cost the game, but it was tremendous. That was a great day's cricket. Mm. That was, yeah.
Michael Warne always remembers it as the day when the Aussies had drawn the match, they looked at the dressing room.
Mm.
All the Aussies were celebrating.
Celebrating a draw.
That was motivation to realise that the Aussies were very vulnerable. Have you got a favourite, Tim?
Mine, it's got to be Ed's best in 05, I think. I can't think of one that I wasn't actually there, but I did see the last day on television. I thought England had lost it. And then, I think that's got to be the best one.
I was just going to say, following on from Tom, in terms of, there's a difference, you know, watching on TV, I think I'd agree with Edgerton 05. I was just started going out with my now wife then, and I stayed over at hers for pretty much most of that test match and forced her to watch all of it on Channel 4.
Oh, right.
Well, lucky you're still married then.
Blimey. I know. That final morning, because obviously it was about, you know, an hour into the final day, wasn't it? I think it was 10:30 start, so it's just before midday.
Yeah, it was.
Or thereabouts. And she said, you know, can never get over the image of a naked bloke jumping up and down in her bed, punching the wall, watching cricket. She's like, I didn't realise could generate these emotions. So that would be, for me, probably the best one to watch on TV. But in terms of being in the ground, two that stick out, or would be the follow-on game from the Old Trafford game. I went to the first day of Old Trafford, but I was at the final day of Trent Bridge, where we won by 2 wickets, whatever it was, when Hoggard and Giles got us over the line. And that was a topsy-turvy day, but to be there for that was brilliant. And the other one, going back a few years before that, which I've talked about on here, I think, before, England v South Africa at Headingley in 98, which I think was the first time England had won a home series for 10, 11 years.
Yes.
And it went over to that final morning, and Gough and Fraser took the last 2 wickets. There's a bit of dodgy umpiring, Javed Akhtar, I think, with about 15 LBWs in the game. But that was brilliant to be at that and run on the pitch. I think it got on BBC TV or whoever was covering it at the end when they were celebrating as well. And the other moment that sticks out for me, not so much the match, although it was a good match, but to be at Sydney when Steve Waugh scored 100 off the last ball of the day. And he went through 10,000 runs in the same innings. I mean, to be there for that, I think it's probably...
It was against Dawson, wasn't it?
Dawson, yeah.
I mean, Dawson.
You know, although England were on the wrong end of that sort of moment, it was to be there was such a privilege to witness that. The sort of history of that moment was brilliant.
The match that I was that I can remember, again, it was overseas, and that was in New Zealand in March 2002 when Nathan Astor scored that double 100. Also in that match, I looked back at the scorecard this afternoon to remind myself, Graham Thorpe scored 200.
That's right.
And Flintoff and Nasser Hussain both scored hundreds as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, that was an amazing game. There was hardly anybody there.
Was that around the time of
supporters than there were anyone else?
Great memories. Go on, yeah.
I was at the Headingley 2019 test. With Sam. Well, I wasn't with Sam. But it's a shame Sam's still not here because we could have just gone through our different experiences. I was there on days 3 and 4, and day 3 I was seriously considering at tea time or just after whether or not I'd actually come back on the day 4, whether or not it'd be worthwhile. But obviously Root and Stokes saw out the day, and to be honest, when I came back on day 4, I was really quite optimistic. I think most of the England supporters there were, to be perfectly honest, because although it was a huge task, I think with Root and Stokes and still with Bairstow and Butler to come.
Yeah.
Most of us were, you know, like England supporters are, optimistic, even though we don't, you know, we don't usually win. Or we didn't, you know, against Australia. We were thinking, but we'd won the World Cup, hadn't we? So, you know, anything's possible.
Oh, yeah.
Stokes is there. And, I mean, it was unbelievable atmosphere.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It seems to be one of those 1 in 100 scenarios that, you know, England find themselves, or lots of cricket teams find themselves in, don't they? You think, maybe tomorrow just might be our day, and actually that was the 1 in 100.
Oh, fantastic! And we had 4 Australians singing. I was right in the front row. But, you know that fantastic photograph from Point when. Ben Stokes raises his arm and everything. I am directly behind him, standing up in the photo.
All right.
I'm on a couple of times on the TV because there's the crowd shot kind of thing.
Giving it large on the Western Terrace, we thought.
Just a lot from the Western Terrace. And about 4 rows behind us, there were 4 Aussies who were getting very leery at one point, as you can imagine. And I think it's Travis Head is out on the boundary, and he's getting all leery with them for most of the time. And then it's getting quieter and quieter. He and these 4 Australians were getting quieter and quieter, more and more serious as the last wicket stand was going on. And it was so funny, the reactions and of the Australian fielders as the stand went on. It was a brilliant day, absolutely brilliant, boiling hot. But yeah, I mean, it's just superb. Yeah. I've never been anywhere like it. I mean,
I think with 2005, everybody sort of has seems to have that nostalgic look back. And but actually, yeah, you're right. That day, 2019, is every bit as good as the Edgbaston 2005. Yeah.
So I think, and this is one that unfortunately I wasn't at, but I remember very well, which was first test 1990, West Indies versus England, Kingston.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That was the first time we'd beaten the West Indies in forever.
Certainly Wayne Larkin, was it?
I think.
Yeah, the Wayne Larkin.
It was the first time we'd beaten the West Indies when the series was still alive. We beat them a couple of times at the Oval at the end of the series, didn't we?
Yeah,
but they were irrelevant.
Yeah,
I mean, this was
certainly we beat West Indies in West Indies as well.
Yeah. And that was, Angus Fraser, Devon Marshall, Gladstone Smalls,
Wayne Larkin's at the winning runs.
Yeah. Alan Lamb got 100.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. And also the thing about that, I didn't have, I think it was on, it was on Sky. It was one of the first ones.
There's a really good feature on Sky, I think they did last summer about.
Yes, they did. They did.
Being the first, sort of almost been the launch pad for Sky Cricket, wasn't it?
But I didn't have Sky, so I just had TMS. Mm. So I was following the set and I think I was building a wardrobe or some rubbish like that. And that was just listening to TMS. But it was remarkable because, I mean, TMS was very, very good. But, you know, we just couldn't believe that England were actually beating them. And I think that has to be the best one.
Okay, so that was it. The world's best cricket club talking about their greatest test matches that they've ever witnessed. As I said, you can go to the Analyst Pod Twitter feed at the Analyst Pod and put in your own ideas what you think was the greatest test match you've ever seen. And don't forget the club, worldsbestcc.com. You can join us anytime. We are raising money for the Professional Cricketers Trust, so it's a worthwhile cause. Okay, hope you enjoyed it. Speak to you next time. Podcast Network.